Our responsive reading this morning is taken from Martin Luther King's letter from a Birmingham jail. It was written on April 13, 1963. And King had been arrested for his part in the Birmingham civil rights campaign and those protests. We are caught in an inescapable network of mutuality. Tied in a single garment of destiny, injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. We hear those words, and we hear him connecting all of us together, and he meant them that way. But they were also written in direct response to those who were saying that outsiders shouldn't come to Birmingham and mess with Birmingham. King specifically said that this is why he came from Atlanta and that he wasn't an outsider. He said that none of us are outsiders. We are all in this together. This is the thought behind the real action. He goes on to say that before it is too late, we must narrow the gaping chasm between our proclamations of peace and our lowly deeds, which precipitate and perpetuate war. One day, we must come to see that peace is not merely a distant goal that we seek, but a means by which we arrive at that goal. Those are the words that we say, and then we tend to overlook them. We just throw them aside. But these are some of the words that become personal and come back and challenge me over and over every Martin Luther King Day, where the we is me and the gap is always real and present. Martin Luther King is using the language of universalism, an inescapable network of mutuality, where all are a part of the love of God and all have the right to live fully as part of that love. One human family, one origin, one nature, one destiny. And if and when human actions interfere with the right and opportunity of everyone to participate fully in the gift that they have been given, that is not and cannot ever be right. That is unjust. It is injustice, and we as part of the family are called to stand together to make things right. We must evolve for all human conflict a method which rejects revenge, aggression, and retaliation, King said, and the foundation of such a method is love. I urge you to read or reread King's letter from the Birmingham jail in its entirety, not just in the quotes, in its entirety. Sit with it. At the end, he apologizes for its length. He says it is the longest letter he has ever written. That was before computers, too, by the way. Written probably on a notepad or scraps of paper. But he apologizes for its length. Never before have I written so long a letter. I'm afraid it is much too long to take your precious time. I can assure you that it would have been much shorter if I had been writing from a comfortable desk. But what else can one do when he is alone in a narrow jail cell other than write long letters, think long thoughts, and pray long prayers? But it is a short read for any evening. It is a short read from your computer or iPhone while you sit somewhere and wait. In the letter, King tries to make the realities of racism and oppression real with examples from his experience and from his children's experience, as well as from the people he has known. He tries to narrow the gaping chasm between what we talk about and what we will stand up for with heartfelt examples. He emphasizes our connectedness. The letter is also a calling out of the comfortable, a chastisement of those who maintain the status quo even as they nod to the wrongness of oppression. He speaks to the inaction of the comfortable, not for being comfortable, but for not standing up for and then with those who aren't and are systemically being kept away from the rights and opportunities that society offers to others. To read his letter in this day and age and to only file it under racism is to misfile it. It is not just a letter that speaks out about the oppression of race, although it is that. It is a letter that speaks to the situation of the poor and the oppressed everywhere. All those for whom life is made unavoidably uncomfortable. All those for whom there is no comfortable home of refuge, either physical or emotional. For their lives to be different, ideas, words have to be taken into action, and something about the culture has to be changed. Something has to be made more inclusive. Those without have no comfortable retreat to retreat to. The comfortable do. Most of us do. King says that he is disappointed in the comfortable, those for whom the status quo gives status. He speaks directly of white moderates. He speaks directly of the white churches. He also speaks to the comfortable African Americans, too. The status quo and those who are comfortable enough may speak out, but then carry on as usual. They have the choice of carrying on and not putting their bodies and lives at risk for civil rights. There are many issues for which I am part of the status quo. I am one of the comfortable. And now I have lived into being one who is a leader tied up in the organization of a congregation and all that implies. I realize that often I am so focused in my personal struggle to maintain the comfort I have, I'm in the discomfort of maintaining my personal comfort. Maintaining the status quo of my life, that for me to respond with commitment and passion and caring to the needs of others is easy to talk about and hard to do. I do nod in affirmation when I hear the words, an inescapable network of mutuality, when I hear a single garment of destiny, when I hear that the foundation of peace is love. I know that the message that all religions share is one of compassion. In order to live well, I know that I am called to expand my circle of compassion. I am moved when I hear that you cannot diminish another without diminishing yourself. If I focus only on the comfort of my comfortable life, will it? Can it really be deeply comforting in the way of soulful belonging that I seek? Martin Luther King called it not just a network of mutuality, but an inescapable network of mutuality for love and justice and peace. King was shot and killed in April 1968, and that's now over 45 years ago. Words and history. We participate in Martin Luther King Day. We call it MLK Day. To do our part in keeping his life and legacy alive, remembering the dream and legacy of particular examples that make, as David Pohl writes, an earth made fair and all her people one, a real possibility. Another leader who devoted his life to the civil rights of his people and that same dream died only this December, December 5th, Nelson Mandela. He was one of the chief architects of the dismantling of the institutional system of racial oppression in South Africa, known as apartheid. In May of 1963, Mandela, 1 month after King, was imprisoned for his actions. Only he was kept there on Robben Island for 27 years. That's only 12 years short of the entire length of Martin Luther King's life. After his release, he received the Nobel Peace Prize and became the president of South Africa. He too spoke of the network of mutuality that calls us to work for justice for everyone. He used the African word Ubuntu. Archbishop Desmond Tutu defined Ubuntu this way: I am a human being. I am a human being because I belong, I participate, I share. I am because you are. It was the notion of living within this Ubuntu that led Mandela to establish the Truth and Reconciliation Council to deal with the wrongs of apartheid rather than merely rely on retributive justice. He believed that Ubuntu could reconnect the broken South Africa. We are drawn to these examples of possibility. We are also drawn to lives lived with meaning and depth and connection, not just for comfort. We seek to make them more real in our own lives. This fall, Ron and Jan Parton traveled to South Africa as part of the Friendship Force, and it was their way of participating together with people. And I asked them if they might have anything to add today, any story or experience to make the words more real and present for us. Ron said, I think I've got something.
About a dozen of us in this congregation are involved with a group called Friendship Force International. It's a group that was started with strong support from the Carters in Georgia in 1973. And one of the guiding principles of this organization is the creation of friendship throughout the world, one friend at a time. And we do that by visiting people in other countries, and in return, they often will come to our country. And we spend that time living in their homes. And you cannot stay in someone's home for a week and not come away with a very different view of their culture and their world, and vice versa. And so true our experience in South Africa when 22 of us, five or six from this group, went on that little voyage. And the first week we spent in Cape Town living in the home of all of them were families who were people of color, who had experienced firsthand the cruelties of apartheid. And we all left, and for both of us, I speak for Jan as well, this was a travel experience that we will never forget. It was probably the one that had the most impact on our lives. And we still have flashes of different memories. One of the most poignant is standing in front of the cell where Nelson Mandela spent 18 of his 27 years of imprisonment. And it just still, stands my hair on end when I think of that experience and what he had to endure through all of that. But just in a short piece, he became essentially what amounts to the George Washington of South Africa. He pulled off something that probably would have been impossible for anyone else to do. And that is a relatively peaceful, bloodless transition from the domination of the cruelties of apartheid into a rainbow nation, which, though they still have many problems and many challenges, is very much a model for all of us. And Ubuntu was taken over in the 1990s, which isn't that long ago, as they were making that transition and trying to figure out how to make it in a way that would be constructive and successful. And the term, actually, Ubuntu, appears in the epilogue of their constitution, which they established at that time, that there is a need for understanding, but not for vengeance, a need for reparation, but not retaliation, a need for Ubuntu, but not for victimization.
Martin Luther King called the network of love and for justice an inescapable network of mutuality. Not only is it inescapable, it is the network of existence itself. It is who we are, and the words somehow must become us. Desmond Tutu, I am a human being because, not I am a human being. I am a human being because I belong, because I participate, because I share. I am because you are. President Obama at Nelson Mandela's memorial said, "We achieve ourselves by sharing ourselves with others and caring for those around us." Close quote. We achieve ourselves by sharing ourselves with others and caring for those around us. That is how we must be to live real and make life good and deep and real and right, not merely comfortable. See you tomorrow at the Martin Luther King Breakfast.